ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हंस सुपर्ण वैकुंठ धर्म योगेश्वर मल्ला ईश्वर पुरुषो व्यक्ता परमात्मेकी गीयते हंसा सुपर्णो वैकुंठ धर्मो योगेश्वरो मला ईश्वरा पुरुषो व्यक्ता परमात्मेकी गीयते हंसा सुपर्णो वैकुंठ धर्मो योगेश्वरो मला ईश्वरा पुरुषो व्यक्ता परमात्मेति गीयते हंसा सुपर्णो वैकुंठ धर्मो योगेश्वरो मला ईश्वरा पुरुषो व्यक्ता परमात्मेति गीयते Hamsa, the transcendental swan. Suparna, whose wings are very beautiful. Vaikuntha, the Lord of the spiritual kingdom. Dharma, the maintainer of religion. Yoga Ishwara, the master of all mystic perfection. Amala, immaculate. Ishwara, the supreme controller. Purusha, the supreme enjoying male. Avyakta, the unmanifested. Paramatma, the supersoul within the heart of every living being. Iti, thus. Giyate, his names are variously chanted. Translation: in the Satya Yuga, the Lord is glorified by the names Hamsa, Suparna, Vaikuntha, Dharma, Yogeshwara, Amala, Ishwara, Purusha, Avyakta, and Paramatma. Purport: the sage Karbhajana Muni is replying to Videharaj Nimi's questions about the varieties of the Lord's incarnations. In the Satya Yuga, the Lord's color is white, and he wears tree bark and a black deerskin as an ideal meditative brahmachari. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained the Lord's various names in Satya Yuga as follows. Those who are self-realized know this supreme reality of the personality of Godhead as Paramatma. Those souls who are situated in the religious system of Varnashrama glorify him as the Hamsa, who is transcendental to all Varnas and Ashrams. Persons absorbed in gross matter consider him to be Suparna, the beautifully winged. The beautifully winged basis of the conceptions of cause and effect, who flies within the subtle sky of the soul, as described in the Chandogya Upanishad. Persons accustomed to wandering within this universe of subtle and gross matter, created by the Lord's illusory potency, chant his name Vaikuntha. Persons deprived of the power of transcendental meditation, Dharana, who are thus subject to falling from the path of religion, glorify him by the name Dharma, or religion personified. Those who are forced to submit to the illusory modes of material nature, and whose minds are uncontrolled and disturbed, glorify him as the most perfectly self-controlled Yogeshwara. Persons painted by a mixture of the modes of passion and ignorance glorify him by the name Amala, or the uncontaminated. Persons devoid of all potency call him Ishvara, and those who consider themselves to be under his shelter chant his glory by the name Uttama Purusha. Thus, those who know that this material manifestation is only temporary call him Avyakta. In this way, in the Satya Yuga, Lord Vasudeva appears in various four-armed transcendental forms, and the jiva souls worship him, each by their own particular process of devotional service. Therefore, the Lord has many different names. Omagyan timarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Suhoruto Gaudadaye Pushpavantu Chitro Sando Tamonudo. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namah. Tavasmi Radhika Natha Karnana Manasagiram Krishna Kante Tavaivasmi Yuvame Vagatirmama. Govinda Vallabhe Radhe Parchaye Tvamaham Sada Tvadiyayati Janatum Govindo Mamtaya Saha. Radhe Vrindavan Arishe Karunam Ritavahini Kripaya Nijaparajadasyam Mayam Pradiyatam Tavaivasmi Najivani Tvayavina Iti Vigaya Devi Tvam Nayanam Charanantikam Panchakalpataruvyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Adhikanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So in this verse where we are hearing of different names of the Lord, by which he is glorified by the people in Satyayuga. These names include Hamsa, means the Lord is like a swan, or Paramahansa, that he is above designations of Varna and Ashram. And we see this in Krishna's appearance, his pastimes 5,000 years ago. Was he a Kshatriya? Was he a Vaishya? Was he a Sudra? He played in all of these roles. He was born, apparently born, as the child of a Kshatriya, Vasudev and Devaki. But then he was raised in the Vaishya community. He was raised in the village of Vrindavan, of Vraja, and he herded cows and carried a rope and a stick and a buffalo horn. He was very insistent to his father, "Let me go and be a gopa, let me herd the cows." And so there's a wonderful festival called Gopastami, when Krishna graduates as a calf herd and becomes a cow herd. Mother Yasoda wanted to, she was reluctant. She wanted to keep him home. "You cannot go and herd cows. You must stay here because the forest is dangerous and there are many prickers and stones and they will hurt your feet. And I will miss you." That was the main thing. But Krishna was, "No, I'm a gopa, I'm a coward, I'm a vaishya, I have to go and herd cows. That is our dharma." So Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj to intervene. "Let, daddy, please let me go. Mummy is just keeping me in the house, like a mummy's boy." So finally, at Nanda's insistence, Krishna is allowed to go and herd cows. Mother Yasoda, she arranges for a ceremony. And everything should be done at the proper muhurta, the proper moment to begin a thing. Just as we have our jataka, astrological chart based on the time of birth. So all things have their moment of birth, and you can choose the auspicious time, the muhurta, to begin a thing, to see that its progression will be auspicious. So an auspicious muhurta is chosen for Krishna's becoming a gopa. And the ceremony is there. Mother Yasoda, she presents him nice golden shoes with jewels and an umbrella and servants with chamars. And Krishna is so embarrassed. What kind of gopa goes herding cows with shoes and a servant with a turban carrying an umbrella behind him? He's so embarrassed and he says, "Mother, I'm not going to use any of this. Just get me a stick and a rope like normal cowherd boys." And she says, "No," she's insistent, "I'm only going to allow you to go if you take these things to protect your feet, your soft, butter soft feet, from the hard ground and the sticks and the stones and the prickers. And you have an umbrella to protect you from the hot scorching sun." Krishna says, "Mother, our dharma as Vaishyas is to protect cows. Cows are always first. So how can I have better facility than them? If you want me to take shoes and umbrellas and chambers and servants, then you must first arrange that all my cows will also have nice golden shoes, an umbrella, and servants with chamra fans. And when you arrange that for all my cows, then I will agree to also take. Until you arrange that, just get me a little stick and a normal rope and let me be a normal cowherd boy." So Krishna, he played the role of a gopa. He played the role as a kshatriya. Later he left Gokula, Vrindavan, and went to Dwarka, to Mathura, then to Dwarka, and built a beautiful city in the ocean on an island, impenetrable by enemies. He led great armies. He was a great statesman. But then at the Rajasuriya Yagya of Yudhisthira Maharaj, he was the receptionist Not only was he the receptionist, but he greeted each and every guest by washing their feet. So that is generally the role of a sudra, to clean shoes, to fix shoes, to do service to the feet. But Krishna, he assumed that role, or he was took the role of a sutta. That was for Arjuna. He became a charioteer and drove Arjuna's chariot on the Kurukshetra battlefield. So in this way, Krishna, he played roles in all of the varnas, because he is, in fact, beyond varna designation. He is Paramahansa. Paramahansa is a title, in fact, given to the sannyasi, because the sannyasi is technically socially dead. They are free of varna and ashrama consideration, so they are beyond the varnas. And so here, one of the names of Sri Krishna is Hamsa. He is like a swan, transcendental to varna and ashram considerations. Another name here for Sri Krishna is Suparna. What is the word for word for this name? So whose wings are very beautiful. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is quoted as explaining this this name, that that Krishna flies within the subtle sky of the soul, and that he is the basis for all cause and effect. I won't try to elaborate on that name. And then another name is Vaikuntha. So Krishna, he is called Vaikunthapati, the lord of the Vaikuntha planets, but he is also called Vaikuntha. Kunta means anxiety, and Krishna is beyond all anxieties. Prabhupada explains in one of the verses of Isha Upanishad that Krishna is antiseptic. What does it mean that Krishna is antiseptic? Antiseptic is something that we use when there is a contamination, when there is potential, for example, for infection. If you cut yourself, then there is a potential that that cut can become infected and swell and become very diseased, even to the extent that the limb may have to be severed. An antiseptic is put there to protect that from happening. Or even if there is a contamination already there, the antiseptic can clear that contamination away. So, yasmare pundarikaksha sabahya abhyantara suchi. Garuda Purana tells us that when we hear the name, we meditate on the name of Pundarikaksha, lotus-eyed Krishna, then all impurities, they go far away. And this is the wonder of Krishna consciousness. This is the wonder of Nam Kirtan, that by associating with the holy name of the Lord, by associating with the deity, serving the deity, by associating with the Lord in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, then hridyam tasto hi abhadrani, all that is troublesome to the heart. And what is troublesome to the heart is material desire. Material desire and material misidentification. And that is called ahankara. This is the root of material existence. Beyond that, ahankara is avidya. So avidya or ignorance leads to ahankara, or false identification. Ahankara leads to raga, material attachment. And when you have material attachment, you attach to things, then dvesha, there is fear. You're fearful of losing them. You're fearful of them becoming damaged. You're fearful of losing your own identity, which has been invested within those things. We invest our identity within clothes. We invest our identity within vehicles. We invest our identity within our little gadgets, our iPods and our computers, and all different types of paraphernalia that we use. That becomes us. We define ourselves with those things. This is the way I dress. It defines who I am as an individual, although it has absolutely nothing to do with us. Our identity becomes threatened when those things are taken from us. And then the greatest fear, abhinivesha. Patanjali, he describes this development of material existence. Avidya to ahankara to ragadvesha and abhinivesha. Krishna consciousness, associating with Krishna through his nama, his name, his Bhagavatam, his murti, his place of residence, like this temple or the holy abodes of Vrindavan and Mayapur. These paraphernalia of the Lord or forms of the Lord have the potency to totally clear away that avidya or ignorance and awaken vidya, that is realization of our nature as Krishna's servant, Krishna Nitya Das, Jivar Swarupa Hoy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes in the Shikshastakam, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahada Vagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kevara Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyabadhu Jivanam Anandam Budivardanam Pratipadam Punam Rita Svaranam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. That this chanting of the holy name clears the mirror of the heart. Clears it of what? Of dust that has accumulated over millions upon millions of years. And so when there is dust covering the mirror, you can look into the mirror and you'll see dust. So you may look in the mirror. The mirror should tell me how I look. You look there and you see only dust. So then the conditioned soul thinks, oh, I am that dust. I am that contamination. I am that conditioned nature. Chanting clears that dust away. That we can see who we really are. And this true identification with ourselves as soul and lover of Krishna frees us of Mahadava Agni. Mahadavagni means great forest fire. So the great forest fire of material conditioning that burns us. I'm sure all of us must have experienced being burnt by fire at some point, in some way, in our lives. Either touching an iron that's hot or scalding water. Or maybe an open flame itself. When I was small, children do crazy things. Some devotee had lit a fire on the farm in Yuvarshana in New Zealand. I was 5. And then I saw him take a container of petrol and throw it onto the fire, and it became really big. So that was exciting for me. So when I saw him leave, I ran over and grabbed the can and thought I would have a try. And I threw this can of petrol onto the fire, and I didn't really flick the petrol out in a proper way. Some of it went on my hand, and when I flicked it into the fire went into the bucket and onto my hand. And anyway, it's very painful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is comparing material existence to that. The blazing forest fire of material existence, and particularly these kleshas, or these types of suffering, they're divided into 3 categories. Adiatmik, Adidevik, and Adibhautik. So Adiatmik means the miseries caused by our own minds, so mental disturbance. That is a increasing problem in materialistic society. Depression, stress, anxiety, and suicidal tendencies, these are increasing exponentially in modern society, decade by decade. Prescriptions for these types of disorders, mental disturbances, are not only doubling but tripling and quadrupling. It's a major concern in the mental health field why this is so, and there's lots of debate about it. So adhyatmic misery is caused by our own mind. There is a great need for Krishna consciousness, just for this reason, if not for the other untold benefits, just to help people make their minds peaceful. Adibhautik, misery is caused by other living entities. This is another klesha that burns us, whether it's our roommate or our flatmate or our other inhabitants of at work, workmates, and then the parasites and the other mosquitoes and so forth.
Mosquitoes,
yeah, that disturb you. Fleas. Adi David refers to miseries caused by the demigods. So generally, we classify this as natural calamities. Now there is a great risk. I just gave a radio interview on ABC Radio this morning in relation to the festivals. And as I was waiting online to speak, then there was a weather report. And it was an extended weather report. And the man was saying there was heightened risk of forest fire because of the heat and the dryness in summer. So that's something that happens in Australia every year. There are major forest fires to go on with helicopters dropping water to try to extinguish those forest fires. So generally we consider adidevic miseries to be such things, forest fires, cyclones, but adidevic miseries can refer to any difficulties that we encounter by those who are superior to us or our authorities. So it may be our boss at work, or it may be government ministers, officials with their oppressive policies and so forth. So these types of miseries burn the conditioned soul in material existence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Harinam Sankirtan will extinguish those. As Rupa Goswami says, Klei Shagni, that it destroys all types of material suffering. Bhavamahada Bhagni Nirva Shreya Kevara Chandrika Vitaranam. Mahaprabhu says that chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra causes the lotus of good fortune to blossom within the heart. Shreya Kevara Chandrika. The moon is very cooling, so the moon rays, it says the cooling moon rays of the lotus of good fortune to blossom within the heart. So our hearts are very closed and covered. When we are defensive, as all people are in material existence, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, these are the common activities of all living entities in material existence. So defending is very prominent. Indra Jandamara says that sometimes you will see a bird in the park and you think, oh, how cute, how sweet, the bird is chirping. He says, but if you look a little more attentively, you'll see that bird is looking around, anxious, in defensive mode. And people spend all their day working. They're working because of this defending need. We need to defend to get money, to defend ourselves with clothes, with home, with food, and so forth. Mahaprabhu says that this chanting causes the lotus of good fortune to blossom. So when the heart is closed, when we're in defensive mode, we close up, our muscles become tight, our adrenaline rushes, and we are defensive. Our fists clench, everything is closed. And when we are in the mood of friendship and love and affection, then our muscles relax and our hands are open. We are ready to give. When we are defensive, then we are closed and we hold everything to ourselves. when we are affectionate and friendly, then our hands and our body are open and we can give and receive. So the heart is inside our body, and for the conditioned soul, it is generally very close. But chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna consciousness, causes that heart to open, that love of the soul, the natural love of the soul, to blossom. And then Mahaprabhu says, Vidya Vadu Jivanam. So Vidya, knowledge, Vadu Jivanam, the knowledge of ourselves, knowledge of the soul, as servant of Krishna. More specifically, Vadu Jivanam. Vadu means wife, actually, or bride. Vidya Vadu means knowledge of yourself as a maidservant of Sri Krishna. Krishna is one of the names mentioned here, is Purusha. Krishna is the male principle, or the supreme controller, also translated as the supreme person, as old as the Rig Veda. Vishnu is identified with as the Purusha. Sometimes people say there are many gods glorified in the Veda. There are prayers to Rudra, to Indra, to Vayu, to Agni, and to Vishnu as well. That is a fact. However, Vishnu is extolled as the Purusha, or the supreme person. The Purusha Shukta is one of the most ancient prayers of the Veda. And therein the Supreme Lord, who is understood to be Vishnu, is described as thousand-headed, sahasra shirsha purushaha sahasraksha sahasrapat sabhumim vishvato vritva atyatishtadra sangulam. This describes how the Lord's faces and mouths are present everywhere, thousands of them, and how he expands to create or to become the creation. So in a sense, if you look at the universal form, if you were to see the universal form and look very closely at those thousands and thousands of faces, you might be very surprised to see your own face there. Not you might be, you might see your face, you will see your face there. You might be surprised though. Yes, your own face will be there in the universal form. And not only the face that you have now, but all the faces that you have had through time. They are part of that universal form of the Lord. So the Lord has expanded himself to become the creation. And then, just to be clever, Purusha Shukta said, Atyatishtadda Sangulam, and then he expanded himself more. He expanded himself to fill, to become the universe. And then he expanded himself more by 10 fingers, just to go beyond. And it describes how all the demigods, they are aspects of this form of the Purusha, that is Vishnu. Brahmanosya mukama sid bahurajanya kritha urutarasya yadvaishah padhyagam sudrovajayata. Chandrama manaso jatah. That the moon, Chandra, the deity of the moon, is his mind. Chaksho suryo ajayata. That the eye, the sun that sees everything, is the eye of the Purusha. Mukarindra. That Indra is his mouth. Mukarindra cha agnischa. Prana Vayu. So Vayu is the prana, or the life air, the breath of that of the Purusha, and Agni is the digestion, the taste. So like this, all the devas, they are limbs, they are aspects of the great Purusha, that is the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And our position is revealed to us through Harinam, Vidya Vadu Jivanam, that we understand ourselves to be the wife or the maidservant of that Purusha. Otherwise, Prakriti means the predominated or the enjoyed, and Purusha is the enjoyer of that. So these are aspects to rasa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami explain how rasa contains different ingredients, particularly five ingredients, and one of those is relates to the ashraya and vishaya, that Krishna is the Purusha or the Vishaya, the enjoyer, and Ashraya is that which is enjoyed. So the living entities, we are all enjoyed by the Lord. And that is referred to by Mahaprabhu, Vidya Vadu Jivanam. And then he says that this chanting fills one with Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. It fills one with bliss. So that is, I'm discussing these things in relation to the name Vaikuntha. Free from anxiety. As long as we are in material conditioning, material conception, then we are anxious. But when we surrender to the Lord, Vaikuntha, Krishna is the antiseptic that clears away, that cleans away all of that anxiety. Prabhupada also uses another word to describe Krishna in relation to this name, Vaikuntha. He says, Krishna is not only antiseptic, but he says that Krishna is also prophylactic. So when people hear this, they may be a little even embarrassed, because a prophylactic is something which is used to avoid conception while having sex, to stop conception from taking place. So how can you say that Krishna is a prophylactic? But Prabhupada, he is using this word in a very specific way, not as some anti-conception device, but he's saying that when you are Krishna conscious, when you are associated with Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities and pastimes, then you are prophylactic, you are protected. Krishna is prophylactic, he will protect you from being contaminated, from being assimilated by the material nature, or from you assimilating material conceptions. So the best defense against material contamination is not to hide away in the forest, or to do Mauna Vrata, or to be in some cave in the Himalayas. No. Take Harinam. Associate with Vaishnavas. Serve the deity. That is the best defense, prophylactic defense against material conditioned nature. Krishna's name is also Dharma. So Dharma means duty, it means religious principle. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he glorifies Krishna as Param Brahma, Param Dharma, the supreme religious principle. This is interesting considering that Krishna himself says, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Abandon. Parityaja. Abandon all Dharma. And Mamekam Sharanam. Just surrender to me. But then Krishna himself is Dharma. So how are these things to be understood? So Krishna, he establishes Dharma in this world to regulate. Dharma is also called the natural order of things. So there is a natural order. And when we follow Dharma, we are harmonizing our activities with the natural order of the universe, with the natural flow of the universe. When we are truthful, when we are self-controlled, when we are charitable, when we are when we don't engage in harm to others, when we avoid stealing, then our life is so much more peaceful. Our life will be so much more happy, in fact. And when we engage in lying and stealing and cheating and harming others, then we are going against the Dharma. We are going against the natural order that Krishna has created of this world. And so that creates chaos. If everyone follows the Dharma, then there is a harmony between all people. If everyone rejects Dharma and does adharma, then there is conflict and chaos in society, and everything becomes unruly, disturbing. So Krishna is that harmony, and he teaches Dharma. He teaches the principles of Dharma, that human society can be peaceful and flourish. And that Dharma or morality is a platform on which we can nurture or cultivate bhakti. When society, when our lives are peaceful, then it is much easier to practice service to the deity, chanting of the holy name, service to Vaishnavas. When things are chaotic, then those services become more difficult to follow. Although Harinam can be chanted in any situation, it is easier when things are peaceful. So Dharma is important for human society. But Krishna, the real basis for Dharma is Krishna's pleasure. So if we become so attached to Dharma that we cannot follow Krishna, that Dharma should be rejected. The higher principle is Krishna's service, because he is Paramdharma. So when Krishna told Arjuna, when Krishna told Yudhisthira Maharaj, you must say that Ashwatthama, the son of Drona, is dead. Shouted out loudly, and then Drona will stop fighting. This was during the Kurukshetra war. Say that Ashwatthama is dead. You say, I cannot say it. It is adharma. And I am, Yudhisthira Maharaj is the son of Yamaraj, Dharmaraj. He couldn't tell that lie. Say it, Yudhisthira. I cannot. So then Krishna had Bhima. Krishna named an elephant. Your name, elephant, is Ashwatthama. Bhima, kill it. So Bhima, he killed the elephant. There was a core of the elephant. And then Krishna said, so now Yudhisthira, you say Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. So, oh yeah, that I can do. Yudhisthira Maharaj, he yelled out to Drona, Drona, Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. As he said, the elephant, Krishna blew his conch shell very loudly. So what Drona heard was, Ashwatthama is dead. So he immediately stopped fighting, sat in meditation, and then Dhristajumna killed him. So some say that before that time, Yudhisthira Maharaj's feet or his chariot were always one inch above the earth, because he was so pure, so dharmic. And after telling that lie, white lie, then his chariot came to the earth. Others say that is a mundane consideration. It was after he hesitated to follow Krishna's instruction. If Krishna tells you to lie, then you should lie. It is not a lie anymore. Because Krishna is Paramdharma. Krishna makes Dharma. And the purpose of Dharma is harmony in this world. But the higher purpose is to come to Krishna. The higher purpose is Krishna's pleasure. But then if we avoid serving Krishna, we say, oh, he's dancing with other men's wives. How can I serve him? Then your Dharma has come in the way. Your attachment to Dharma has come in the way of your service to Krishna. So therefore, Krishna says, sarva dharman parityaja. Abandon all of those dharmas that are unfavorable to your surrender to Krishna. And just surrender to me. Not that we become adharmic. Krishna says then that you should abandon all dharma. So now I will become like a tantric shakta. They have the 5M program. the 5M program is Mamsa, the tantric, the left wing tantrics in India. They had somehow had some idea that by breaking all social conventions, then they would be free. So they had a 5M program. Mamsa, eat flesh. So in Orthodox, conservative, Vedic society, Hindu society, that was a great, now it's normal, but in those days, it was a great contravention of social convention. Then Matsya, not only eat mamsa, eat flesh, also eat fish. Then Madana, that is to drink liquor. And then they had Maituna, engage in sex, not just with your wife, that is, or husband, that is too conservative, but should be something scandalous. And then the fifth M was mudra, to, I don't know, some kind of obscene gestures, some ancient form of the bird or something, I'm not exactly sure. So mamsa, matsa, matsya, madana, mudra, and maituna. This was the 5M program. That's not what Krishna is talking about. Abandon all dharma and just surrender. No, not like these tantrics. But abandon those dharmas which become an obstruction to your service, to your surrender to Krishna. So at some point, the sannyasi abandons varna and ashrama dharma. Ramanujacharya gave up the grihastha ashram. He abandoned that dharma of a grihastha. And he was a little bit concerned, who will take care of my wife if I abandon home? But then he saw a lizard who had broken its leg and couldn't go to collect food, collect insects. And he was worried, who will look after my wife if I will leave home to take sannyas and preach? And he saw the lizard with a broken leg. Oh, who will take care of that lizard? Then he saw a fly fall from the air, dead. And the lizard licked it up. He says, oh, Krishna is taking care of everyone. Even I think I'm taking care of my family. It is Krishna taking care. So without hesitation, his doubt was removed and he went and took sannyas. So that was appropriate for Ramanujacharya. He was a sannyasi. He had the adhikar of a sannyasi. And so he renounced that dharma, grihastha dharma, that ashrama dharma, and became a sannyasi. So like this, any dharma which is obstructive in the way of our surrender to Krishna. And the great example is of the Braja Gopis. They are the highest example. And actually Bhagavatam gives us two stories and juxtaposes them. We get them quite near to each other. One is of the Brahmanis, the wives of the Brahmanas. So they were they were approached by the cowherd boys. First Krishna, he sent the cowherd boys, go to the Brahmanas performing Vedic sacrifice, ask them for food. They have lots and lots of grains and ghee and so many preparations there for the sacrifice they're performing. You say, Krishna is nearby and he's hungry. So the boys, they went to the Brahmanas, oh great Brahmanas, Krishna is in the forest nearby and he would like to eat some food. Can you please, he sent us to collect preparations from you. Boys, go away. We are busy doing yajnas for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hello? Supreme Lord is asking for food. So they were so... they were blinded by their attachment to the ritual, that when the Supreme Lord Himself comes,
where his representative comes asking him, no, they're not able to accommodate, they're not able to see. They are attached to their Vedic ritual. Krishna says, go and ask their wives. So then the boys went back and asked the Brahmanis. Krishna is hungry. If he's nearby, he would like food. Immediately they took all kinds of food preparations. Their husband tried to say, hey, where are you going? Come back. Don't go anywhere. Do not leave the home. Parents tried to stop them. Fathers-in-laws, mothers-in-laws. They weren't hearing it from anyone. They ran out of their homes. They went to Krishna in the forest with wonderful preparation. Krishna, we have brought all of this for you. Krishna said, thank you. Now please go home very quickly. Because your parents and your husbands, they are upset. And they said, we cannot go home. We cannot go home. Now that we have disobeyed them, there is no way for us to go home. We will be rejected. Leaving our homes at the call of another man, there's no way we will be taken back. Now we can only be with you. Krishna said, what is this? This is adharma. You are speaking adharma. How can you be with another man in the forest? This is not right. This is against Shastra, Vedic Vidhi. Immediately return to your homes. No, but we cannot. Krishna said, don't worry. In your next life, you can be with me. And I promise you, if you return home now, no one will say a thing. No one will say anything bad about you. So they offered their pranam and went home. Krishna was not happy. He was not happy. He had tested them. And they failed their test. They were satisfied with the promise, in your next life, you will be with me. Now Krishna, he runs the same test by the Braja Gopis. He calls them at Vamsivat, playing his flute, in the middle of the night, in the full moon night, in the Kartik month. And they come rushing, and their husbands would try to obstruct them, and their parents try to obstruct them. And they somehow or other leave to be with Krishna. And then he says, young girls, why have you come here in the middle of the night? This is not proper. This is against dharma and Vedic vidhi. Immediately return home. It is nice that you came. Hello, goodbye. And they said, we're not going home. After you called us here, you send us away? What is this? You say that it's a dharma for us to be with you? The purpose of dharma is to approach you. The purpose of dharma is to purify us, to regulate our lives, that we can serve you. And you are using dharma as an argument to send us away from you. That is nonsense. We are not going anywhere. So Krishna was very pleased with this. They passed his test, and then he performed Rasleela. Sarva Rasa Sar, Rasaleela. This most excellent of all Sri Krishna's pastimes was performed with these Vraja Gopis, who understood the real purport of Krishna's name, Dharma. Because when Krishna dances with the gopis, that is not a dharma. That is dharma. The real purport of dharma is love Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami says that all the vidhi and nishedha means the rules and regulations, the injunctions and prohibitions of the Vedas have two purposes. They can all be summarized as two. There's only two rules. You read Manusmriti, there are thousands of rules, but they can all be summarized, all Vedic teaching, as two rules. I heard a little whisper somewhere. Yeah, always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. These are the two injunctions of the Vedas.
And we also take vows of spiritual initiation. We take a vow to avoid things that will cause us to forget Krishna. Meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex. These are great distractions, and there is no way to offer meat, illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication to Krishna. So that is the never forget Krishna. And the prescriptive, injunctive principle to always remember Krishna, we have it, you chant at least 16 rounds per day. At least 16. The principle is Kirtaniya Sadahari, to always chant the holy name of the Lord. So these are some names of the Lord that are meditated on by the people in such a yuga. It can be pointed out that these are generally speaking, these are all secondary names of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the Shikshastakam, Nam Nama Kari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktish Tatra Pita Nyamita Smarane Nakalaha Etadrishi Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdevam Idrisham Iha Jani Na Anuradaha. That Lord, my Lord, you have so many names, hundreds of millions of names, that are invested with all your spiritual potency. So Prabhupada gives example like Krishna and Govinda. So these names, they are primary names of the Lord, and they are invested with all of the Lord's potency. But secondary names, they are partially invested. So names that relate to the Lord in connection with this world, as the Ishvara, the controller of this world, as Guneshwara or Paramatma. These are secondary names of the Lord, Brahman. They don't invoke the Lord in His completeness. So there are three aspects to the Absolute: Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So Brahman is a partial manifestation of the Lord as His eternal principle, all-pervasive principle. Paramatma is all-pervasive and also localized in the heart of every living entity. Bhagavan is complete and refers to the personality of Godhead. So Narayan is the manifestation of the Lord in His personality. He also has many incarnations: Matsya, Koma, Varaha, Nrisingha, Vamana. These are all Vishnu avatars of the Lord. So these names, Rama, Nrisingha, Vamana, Purusha, these are primary names for the Lord. And names like Ishvara, Yogeshwara, Paramatma, they are secondary names. And we do not get the same benefit. We do not get the same benefit chanting secondary names as we do when chanting primary names. The name, you can chant Om, and it can give you liberation. But you cannot get prema by chanting that name. You can be liberated. But by chanting names, so even amongst the primary names, Rama, Nrisingha, Vamana, then there are, even there is distinction. There are Aishwarya names and Madhurya names. Names that refer to the Lord in all His majesty, and names that refer to the Lord in His sweetness. So for those who are interested in serving the Lord in His majestic feature, as Bhagavan, then they can chant these names, Narayan, Vishnu, Nrisingha, Vamana, and so forth. And then those who are interested in approaching the Lord in His Madhurya feature, then they will chant primary names in relation to Sri Vrindavan Dham. So Radha Vallabha, Radha Natha, Govinda, Gopinath, Maran Mohan, Maran Gopal, Shyam Sundar. These are Krishna. These are the most, these are Madhurya names of the Lord. They are the most intimate names of the Lord in relation to His Vrindavan pastimes with the residents of Vraja Dham. So these names are imbued with the Lord's greatest manifestation of rasa, akhila rasamrita murti, Krishna is the embodiment of rasa, and that rasa is expressed in its greatest, to the greatest extent, in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So for those who desire to enter into Vrindavan and know Krishna in his fullest extent, then they are encouraged to chant these more intimate names of the Lord, these Vrindavan names of the Lord. They are most pleasing to him. And as stated at the end of the purport, each by their own particular process of devotional service. So wait. Those who know that this material manifestation is only temporary call him avyakta. In this way, in such yuga, Lord Vasudeva appears in various form, transcendental forms, and the jiva souls worship him, each according to their own process of devotional service. Therefore, the Lord has many different names. So, yayata mam prapadyante, Krishna says, as they surrender, I reciprocate. As they approach me, I respond. So if we, depending on the sadhana we perform, then the Lord reciprocates accordingly. If we're approaching with material desires, he fulfills material desires. If we're approaching for liberation, he gives us liberation. If we approach him as Radha Vallabha, then he allows us to enter into his pastimes with the residents of Sri Vrindavan Dham, with Srimati Radharani and the other residents there. So we are encouraged by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to chant the name Krishna. Krishna relates to the original personality of Godhead, Nanda Nandan Krishna in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So we will conclude here. We'll take one or two questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu?
Would you like to tell them about Suparna?
Suparna. We tried a little and we didn't do too well. that he has wings, was it?
Number two.
Yeah. Suparna, whose wings are very beautiful. And I didn't do too well explaining that name. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, persons absorbed in gross matter consider him to be Suparnam, the beautifully winged basis of the conceptions of cause and effect, who flies within the subtle sky of the soul, as described in the Chandogya Upanishad. I can't really say more than that. I could speculate something for you. But I'm not really familiar with the Lord's winged incarnation or his feature described as having beautiful wings. I'm thinking of Garuda, but that doesn't really do it for me. So I'm going to leave that. One more comment or question?
This is Rama.
Yeah.
This name was not...
I didn't mention the name Ram.
Hmm.
True.
Whereas it is part of the Mahamantra.
It is, yeah. So Rama means, it is also a primary name. It means that the Lord, it can be taken to refer to Sri Ramachandra. It can also be taken to Ramachandra is an Aishwarya, a majestic manifestation of Godhead. But it can also be taken as a Madhurya name, that Radha Ramana, that he is the enjoyer, the supreme, the most blissful. Raman means the supreme enjoyer or the reservoir of all bliss or pleasure. So there's a beautiful deity, a very famous deity in Vrindavan. His name is Ramana, Raman. So he can also be meditated like that. And then it is an intimate Madhurya name.
And that is why it is so in the Mahamantra?
Yeah. Krishna means that, refers to the Lord who is all attractive. So he attracts our minds and our hearts. And Rama means that the Lord is full of bliss. And so also when we connect with him, associate with him through that name, then we are also filled with bliss. And that's what we experience when we chant Hare Krishna.
Not with Balaram.
Can also refer to Balaram. Our spiritual master, as stated here in the purport, devotees chant different names according to their meditation. So it also depends on your meditation, where you are directing that chanting. As you chant, how you meditate, then the Lord reciprocates.
accordingly. Yeah. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktarindaki, Jai Gaur Premanandi.